A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
The rulers sneered at Jesus and said, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the chosen one, the Christ of God." Even the soldiers jeered at him. As they approached to offer him wine, they called out, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Above him there was an inscription that read, "This is the King of the Jews." Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply, "Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. And indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we received corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied to him, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I have a confession to make. I don't think I need absolution, but I have a confession to make. I didn't know what this feast was all about. I really didn't for a long, long time. Even after I was ordained and preaching about it, of course, I don't know what I'm preaching about anyways. You're supposed to laugh at that, yeah. I thought it was all about Jesus, when it's really not. It is and it's not. It's more than Jesus. It's greater than Jesus. I didn't know anything about this, how it came about, how this feast got on the calendar to begin with. Do you? Well, let me give you a little history of this feast, which might give you an unexpected perspective. In the 1920s, as some of you might remember, the Franciscans, sadly not the Dominicans, urged Rome to make this a feast day, a universal feast day. You know how feast days come about? It's in one culture or one place or one group of people, and then all of a sudden it grows and it grows and grows and then becomes a universal feast day. The Italians started one feast day, and then the French, and then the English, and the Irish, the Polish, they all have their feast days and just saints, and then it becomes universal. Well, that's what it's happened. So they urged Rome to make this a universal one. However, the feast of Christ the King of the universe was not universalized until the 1960s with Second Vatican Council. After the First World War, when kings of Europe had been destroying one another, all in the name of Christianity, sadly it seems, the Franciscans realized that we needed a bigger picture, a bigger pattern. We needed something that would hold the Christian civilization together. And so they recognized that most Christians' understanding was based on what I'm going to call Plan B. Plan B is what most of us implicitly or explicitly grew up with. And probably some of you today still believe in this way. And that is the notion that everything started with a big mistake, which is a terrible way to start history, don't you think? The Dominicans and the Franciscans, by the way, remember that? They used to fight over, would Jesus come if there was no fall, you know? Would he come anyways, because that's what love does? You don't come because of a negative, you come because of a positive. But anyways, you know, Adam and Eve ate the apple, dang it. So God had to send his son into the world to redeem the world and make the whole thing turn around. In effect, according to Plan B perspective, which many people believe, Jesus was the mop-up exercise to correct Adam and Eve's terrible fault. However, Scripture shows a much broader view, though for some reason it has mostly gone ignored or unnoticed, perhaps. And the New Testament, we're told that this Christ, the Alpha and the Omega, the Alpha being the first letter of the Greek alphabet, and Omega being the last, the beginning and the end, that Christ is the Alpha and the Omega. So there had to be a correspondence between how the universe began and where is it going. There has to be a trajectory created, a meaningful direction to it, and an end goal that has to be made clear. So Plan A says that the direction and the meaning was set from the very beginning. The story of creation didn't start with a problem. It started with God's clear blueprint, which was called the Logos, the first idea in the mind of God. That's from Don Scotus, Franciscan, as it were. And I don't know if God has ideas, but that's how scripture writers seem to write it, seem to see it. Christ was Plan A, and God's incarnation did not depend upon a mistake, but was purely a revelatory gift from the very start. Did you notice that this official name of this feast is? It's Christ, the King of the universe. The feast points to a universal understanding of what's going on. What does this thing called history mean? Where does it come from? And where is it going? Well, the Franciscans proposed, what they proposed was, they said that the first idea, this Alpha and Omega, is that God wanted to materialize. God, who is spirit, who is shapeless and formless, wanted to take form. That's what it means for Christ the King to be King of the universe. Christ is the first revelation of what's going on. Christ is the pattern of how things work. Christ is the inner DNA of everything. And because we were preoccupied with kings, it seems, in most of history, we use the word king. But as we see in the Gospel, which wasn't read today, but in the Gospel of John, Jesus rejects being a king. And that's what threw me off on this feast all the time, is because I knew that my scriptures, I knew that Jesus didn't want to be king, so I was like, Christ, the King of the universe. Well, I limited Christ to Jesus. That's what my problem was. But Christ rejects being a king. He says, that's not what I'm about. He says, I just came here, I just came to reveal the big truth, not to be the king in your worldly sense. And so the Christ is not the same as Jesus. Christ is not Jesus' last name. Now, don't be shocked, right? Don't be scandalized. Don't think I lost my faith. You know, Jesus existed for what? How many years? 33 years? And Jesus exists now for 2,000 years, the risen Christ, right? The Christ, the King of the universe, the pattern of all things, has existed according to our present understanding of the universe for how many years? 14.6 billion years. And we're the first people to notice that. The best that we know from science, the Big Bang is when God first decided that God, to show God's self, to materialize. And that's the original incarnation. That's the alpha point. Do you follow me? We're the first people who ever had a name, an approximate date for it. And so now our telescopes, you know, reveal that the universe is still expanding. 14.6 billion years, it's still moving outward from its first explosion. It's going out and out and out and out and out. Where's it going? Perhaps the second coming of Christ is when, as scientists predict, will happen, that the whole thing stops expanding, and in a quick moment, everything will implode and it will return to its source, with a capital S. Science is saying a lot these days that sounds an awful lot like good theology. I don't know how it will happen. We don't know. And Jesus tells us in the Gospels, this is stay awake, stay awake, stay awake. You don't have to worry about it. It's not your problem, he tells us. But we do know that what we do know is that the Alpha and the Omega are the same thing. The beginning and the end are the same. What God revealed as Plan A, the Christ, to reveal who God is in the universe, in creation, in every creature, in everything that existed on this planet and other planets perhaps, is a revelation of the mystery of God from beginning to end. And so I hope you recognize what this means. It means that you and I are inside something that is sacred, that is beautiful, that is inherently holy. And we ourselves don't make it holy. It already is holy. You and I are the in-between of the Alpha and the Omega. You are the becoming in time of the eternal Christ. Wow. In other words, Christ is indeed the pattern of the universe. Life has meaning. It has direction. And it has purpose. Creation itself is timeless incarnation, which we call Christ. And Jesus is the personal incarnation who was born in a moment of time when we could begin to understand and love a person. And Christianity is the religion that dares to believe this. Do you realize what a daring belief system we have? Can you really believe that one ordinary man, a human like us in all things but sin, born in a little dusty town in Palestine, is the eternal blueprint of what God has been doing since the beginning of time in Christ? That's what we believe when we say that we believe in both Jesus and Christ. Jesus is the microcosm. Christ is the macrocosm. My brothers and sisters, that's a big act of faith. Do you really believe that the Christ reveals what's happening in all time, everywhere, in all things? Do you really believe that? Or that this is happening even now in you? Even now? Right now? So this, I believe, is the deepest, the biggest, and the vast meaning of the feast of Christ, the King of the universe.